Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger on site at the mHealth Summit in the Washington, D.C. area. Today I'm speaking with Rob McCray, CEO of the Wireless Life Science Alliance. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Well, for listeners who aren't familiar with your alliance, briefly describe who the WLSA is and talk about its mission.
So we are a 9-year-old nonprofit member association, multi-sector, healthcare, technology, consumer, global companies to startups, and we our mission has been to accelerate innovation, technology innovation in healthcare, in order to bring better products and solutions for healthcare problems to the market. We offer two conferences now. One is our Convergence Summit, 9 years old now, every May, and we do a scientific conference that brings together the health research and the STEM research communities with industry every fall. In 2014, that conference will be on the campus of the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda.
Well, you've spoken a bit about health data ownership here at the mHealth Summit. Explain WLSA's point of view on health data ownership and why it's such an important issue.
So let me take a step back, because our point of view on health care is that the goal of people, consumers, payers, employers, is health, not health care. And therefore, our mission is as broad as our membership, and that is to create solutions that share information, share data, deliver transparency, deliver transparency on price and on outcomes to everyone that interacts with the healthcare system. In that model, you know, how you manage the privacy, ownership, and security of health data becomes a very, very important issue, and one that has to be resolved in a way that all the stakeholders kind of go along with.
Why is it hard for some stakeholders in healthcare, you know, be they cloud vendors or maybe healthcare providers or other folks, why is it so hard for them to understand that in the end the patient owns the data? Because I hear, you know, in interviewing folks or listening to speakers at conferences, that some people think that maybe the patients don't, that they own it.
Well, you know, I mean, ownership is sort of an interesting concept. It's, you know, it's an old concept, and it probably doesn't apply perfectly to a connected health world, which is what we're creating and what, you know, we envision will be the dominant model of the future. Because by ourselves, we as patients can't create most of the data that we are, you know, said to own. Other people contribute to it. So we think that the end result has to be a much more nuanced set of understandings and, you know, and rules and laws relating to ownership, security, and privacy. We all have a stake in it. You know, if I'm a patient and I may own my data, but, you know, if I am a infectious disease risk to other people in my place of work, I don't think the fact that I may own that data means that my employer doesn't have, you know, a right to know that and to take some action to protect, you know, my colleagues, even if I'm not. So, you know, it is a complex area, and rules of ownership, you know, based on real property, where you can say, well, it's mine, you can't trespass, they just really don't apply when we all have to share the same, you know, same pathways.
And I think another common example that I've heard is, imagine two competing hospitals in the same metropolitan area and a patient wants to go between one or the other. And although HIPAA is quite clear about who owns the data and where it gets to go, sometimes one provider might hide behind HIPAA, oh, we can't share that, or they might hide behind a lack of interoperability and not make it happen.
Yep, sure, we're all trying to, you know, get these health insurance information exchanges implemented, you know, throughout the country. You know, multiple efforts have failed in most communities in the past two or three decades. And, of course, one of the issues that they all have to face with is compliance with HIPAA. And there are different models. And I happen to come from San Diego, where the model of the health insurance information exchange that we're implementing there is, you know, an opt-in model handled at the level of the clinician-patient interaction. You know, I just hope that, you know, we do achieve that kind of 98% opt-in. I'm not personally sure that's the best way to handle it, but, you know, that's the way we're doing it. Other regions, to my understanding, you may know better than I do, have, you know, done more of an opt-out approach, which, you know, implies that, you know, this ownership thing is not the driving issue. It is, you know, what's the need of the system that is, you know, being created to support healthcare.
Yeah, and so we've been, if you think about HIPAA, we've been talking about the portability issue. So I've been coming to the ML Summit for several years, and it seemed in the early days of this conference, it was all about the potential of the technology and what it can do. And it seems really this year they're taking a much stronger look at privacy and security, sort of protecting the data, protecting the potential of all these things these apps can do. Is that sort of the feeling you get walking the halls around here?
Well, I think for some reason, I'm not sure that it has anything to do with the maturation of the industry as a whole, but it's something, you know, kind of in the international water, and, you know, and probably all the headlines about the NSA and of course, WikiLeaks last year. Has probably caused, you know, some of that. More focus on privacy and security in general, any industry that is dealing with private, you know, information. But the good thing is that, one, I think part of the contributing factor to this is that there are more of these what could be done being done in the real world, and therefore, you know, organizations are confronting the issues of privacy and security, which they, you know, were always on the roadmap, but, you know, it's always on the roadmap until you actually go into the real world.
Right.
So now they're actually having to get those consents, having to get the lawyers of the various institutions to sign off on whatever approach they take, and that, so that's part of the reason that you're hearing more about it now.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the NSA and the Edward Snowden story that sort of showed to the public that the NSA is watching what's going on, you know, with Google and Microsoft and common sites that most every consumer uses. And we're in healthcare. Do you think it sort of has leaked into patient trust of health IT systems? Because, you know, obviously they weren't the subject of the NSA leaks, but is it all, do patients look at healthcare and health IT is sort of guilty by association?
I hope not. I really hope not, because we're not going to be able to serve our population of insured and uninsured patients if they're not, you know, accessible, if their private information isn't accessible when the system needs it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't have any evidence that it is happening, but certainly there's a concern there.
Well, I think I myself, as a patient, I'm a little bit more wary or on edge or maybe just jaded and resigned. But anyway, so what advice, you know, from your perch in the health IT world, what advice would you give to listeners who, you know, hospital CIOs and their health IT teams that work with them? What advice would you give to them for beefing up security and sort of keeping the bad guys out of their network, especially now that wireless networks are expanding exponentially right now?
Yeah, so I think it's to, you know, make sure, one, pay attention to it, right? Make sure it's an important risk factor, however they handle enterprise risk, that it is an issue that they deal with at a senior executive level and think about their structural methodologies for managing against the risk of leakage or breaches of their security. I think second, avoid the do-it-yourself mentality that, you know, we have a computer programmer so we can do something ourselves, or using platforms. I love small companies, but, you know, they can't be expert at everything. And so I'd say making sure that you are using a, you know, qualified, well-regarded, you know, platform that, you know, has been created by, you know, people in a company that focuses on security. Mm-hmm. And those would be the top of the list. And I will say that their problem is increasing, because in a connected health world, you know, if you're a hospital CIO, you know, your user base goes from, you know, thousands of people that are mostly employees or, you know, professional contractors to your hospital system, to tens or hundreds of thousands of people, including, you know, your patients and people at home and relationships with other people that come on the fly. So their challenge is being increased, and the structure, getting the structure right, it becomes increasingly important, in my opinion.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time today and stopping by. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to talk with you, Don.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.